Good evening. As was announced, our scripture reading is taken from Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. Again, that is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Again, that was Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 from the New American Standard Bible.
Subject, the true people of God. And we began by emphasizing the fact that there is a lot of misunderstanding about this particular subject. There really always has been. People have been confused about who the true people of God really are. And this morning we spent most of our time looking at the Jews. Never has that been more true than with the children of Israel. And even today, there are those pre-millennialists particularly who truly believe that one of these days there's going to be a mass conversion of Jews, and that's going to all happen when Jesus comes back to set up his millennial kingdom here on earth. And they even believe that Judaism is going to be reinstituted and Christ is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. And basically, we're going to go back to the way it was under the law. And it won't be exactly the same, but those things I just mentioned will be in place. And so they think that the Jews still occupy a special place in the mind of God. Well, that's not true. As we saw this morning, the Jews were the people of God. There's no question about that. From an outward standpoint, from a physical standpoint, they were set apart, they were separated to be God's special people. In fact, turn your Bibles over to Exodus chapter 19, and we see in the very beginning when they first started to be a nation what God told them. In Exodus chapter 19, and beginning at verse 3. Exodus chapter 19, and beginning at verse 3, it says, "And while Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be a treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." And so there is no question but that they were set apart and separated by God. We looked at a passage this morning in Romans chapter 9 where Paul articulated the many things, the advantages, the blessings that they had as the people of God. They indeed were Israelites. And they had the covenants, and they had the patriarchs, and they had the oracles of God and all of those things because they were God's special people. But that was only really from an outward standpoint that would be true with regard to the physical descendants of Abraham. And so this morning, using Romans chapter 2 at verses 25 through 29, we saw that these physical Jews were circumcised. But Paul said that is only of value to you if you obey the law. Now, as it turns out, most of the Jews were not doing that. In fact, all through their history, They were not really obeying God. Instead, they went off into idolatry. They committed all kind of atrocities before God, even sacrificing their children to the false god Molech at one point. It's why the Israelites had to be carried away into captivity. And the fact of the matter is, God warned them about all of that. You notice right here in Exodus chapter 19 how this whole thing begins at verse 5. He says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice." And so when it comes down to the physical Jews, there's no doubt they were the people of God. They numbered as the sand of the sea. But the question is, were they true Jews? And in the book of Romans, Paul answers that. And he says, no, you are not true Jews, because while you were circumcised in the flesh, you were not circumcised in the heart. And it's those who are circumcised in the heart. I'm talking about amongst God's people in the Old Testament, amongst the Jews. It was those who were circumcised of the heart who were the true people of God. And so we find that that really only made up a remnant of people. And so I want us to get that picture in our mind of the Jews back then, that you just have this, all of the Israelites, they, as Jesus said, "I know you're the offspring of Abraham." There's no question about that. But God had a people within a people, so to speak. Amongst all of those Jews, those physical Israelites, the offspring of Abraham, among all of those people back in the Old Testament, it was those who were obedient to God who were truly his people. The way we put it this morning, and I have put it like this over the years, that they were those who have faith in God and are faithful. That's who made up the people of God amongst even the Jews. And it was just a remnant. And so Paul comes along in the book of Romans, and the reason all of that makes is important is because the Jews were accusing Paul of preaching some doctrine that would make God a liar, that would make God unfaithful, that would say God has turned his back on his people, that he has rejected his people. And Paul's answer is, you're confused about who the true people of God really are. It's not just those who are circumcised outwardly. It's those who are circumcised inwardly. Now, again, when you begin to apply this at Paul's day, this is all true, even back in the Old Testament. The true, in the absolute sense, the true people of God were those who are in his favor because of their faithfulness. I said this morning, those are the people back in the Old Testament upon whom the blood of Christ would ultimately flow back in touch and wash away their sins. It wasn't every single physical descendant of Abraham. In fact, if we wanted to get technical about this, and we won't go down this path tonight, but the fact of the matter is, God chose to be his special people, a particular line of Israelites. It wasn't all the descendants of Abraham. There were a lot of descendants of Abraham in the Old Testament who never were a part of the people of God. But it was Abraham, and then, of course, he chose Isaac instead of Ishmael, and then he chose Jacob instead of Esau. And so by his sovereignty, God made choices because he wanted to. He wasn't forced to do it. It wasn't because of any meritorious works of Isaac or Jacob or anyone else. God just made the decision. This is going to be the line of people through whom the Messiah would come. But amongst all of those people, it's only those who were faithful, only those who had a circumcised heart demonstrated by their willingness to obey the law, that were truly his people. And so Paul makes that point. And then when we get over again to Paul's day and he begins to preach the gospel, you have a situation where still in this dispensation, the majority of Jews were lost. And the point of it is, they're highly offended by that. Paul, your doctrine means you're leaving outside of fellowship all of these descendants of Abraham. And Paul is saying, yes, and that's the way it has always been. It has always been like that. God has always only had a remnant. And in Romans chapter 11, Paul says, at this present time, it's the same way. And who, in Paul's day now, who amongst the Jews, who were a part of the people of God, which Israelites were saved? It were those who obeyed the gospel of Christ. Those who were saved by grace through their obedience to the gospel of Christ, those were the ones in the New Testament time who could fall into this category of those who had faith and were faithful. You still had millions of Jews who were the physical offspring of Abraham. Paul preached to a lot of them during the course of his time here on earth. We see through the Gospels Jesus dealing with them over and over again. We saw this morning in John chapter 8 where many of them, when they heard Jesus and saw his miracles, they believed, but they didn't continue in his word. And we know ultimately many of those descendants of Abraham cried out to Pilate when Jesus was being tried, crucify him, crucify him. And we know even on the day of Pentecost, many of those Jews heard the gospel preached for the first time, but walked away and didn't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, they were physical descendants of Abraham, but they weren't a part of the remnant. But about 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost did obey the gospel of Christ. And they became a part of that remnant, but that brings us now to how we can make application of that to us. The church of Christ. Like we know now today in this dispensation, the people of God make up the church of Christ. Matthew chapter 16 at verse 18, Jesus said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And he did that beginning on the day of Pentecost, as we alluded to a second ago. The first gospel sermon was preached, and individuals then were called out. How they were called out? By the gospel of Christ. The Gentiles and the Jews were called out exactly the same way. They were all saved by grace through their obedience to the gospel of Christ and became a part of the remnant who were saved. But the thing that I want us to see here tonight is that from an outward standpoint, when we just think about the church, even if we look at it from a local standpoint, you think about this local church, one might conclude apparently that everyone here tonight, that we're all Christians, that we're all a part of the true people of God. But are we? Yeah, from an outward standpoint, you're baptized and you enter into that outer circle there. But are you a part of that inner circle, the true Christian? And who is the true Christian? It's exactly the way it was in the Old Testament. It's those who have faith in God and are faithful. Is that every single member of every local church? No. And there's too many in the church today who might conclude, as I suggested this morning, well, you know, I'm a member of the Brown Street Church of Christ. I have been baptized. I was baptized into the Universal Church. I'm now a member of a sound and solid local congregation. And so I know I'm a part of the people of God. And I know I'm going to heaven after a while. Well, it depends. Now, when we think over here about those who obey the gospel, that is absolutely necessary in order to be a part of the people of God. And we're not going to go through in any great detail here tonight the God's plan of salvation. We We run through it all the time, and we know what it is after the hearing, of course, that makes common sense. You have to hear the gospel in order to obey it. But we know you have to believe, John 8 at verse 24. We know that you have to repent of your sins, Acts 3 at verse 19, along with many other passages. You have to confess Christ, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And then, of course, you have to be baptized. And baptism puts you into Christ. Baptism puts you into that outer circle. You are now a part of the called out. And there's no question, as we think about that, of the necessity of being baptized. Listen, I don't care who a person is. Anyone who has reached the age of accountability, doesn't matter where he or she was born, doesn't matter what his or her lineage is. It doesn't matter if we're talking about male or female, black or white, free or bond, rich or poor. Doesn't matter who it is. Everybody who has ever lived, who reached the age of accountability, the only way you can become a part of God's true people is to be baptized into Christ. There's no question about that. From that standpoint, baptism in that limited way might be compared to circumcision. The problem is today in the denominational realm, they want to deny baptism on the same basis that circumcision is denied. And they want to say, oh, you people in the Church of Christ, it's just like those Jews who were demanding circumcision. You're demanding baptism. Well, hold on. Hold on just a minute. They don't fall into the same category in this dispensation. Because in this dispensation, circumcision isn't commanded. Baptism is. That'd be like saying in the Old Testament, if you wanted to be a part of the true people of God, not only did you have to be circumcised, you'd have to be baptized. No, they didn't. Because that wasn't commanded back then. But what is comparable is that in the Old Testament, in order to be in a covenant relationship with God, you had to be circumcised if you were a man. You had to be circumcised. And that was the covenant sign of being in that relationship with God. So circumcision was necessary. If a Jew decided, I'm not going to be circumcised, he'd be cut off from the people. So circumcision was necessary. In this dispensation, baptism is necessary. And you can't even become a part of the people of God unless you are baptized. But is it the case that baptism is enough? There's too many who think yes, and we live our lives thinking again, well, I've done that, I've taken care of that, I've gone down into the waters of baptism, and so that's all that's necessary. No, who the true Christian? It's not every person who has his name on the roll book of a local church. It's those who walk in the newness of life. The scripture reading for tonight, you remember in Hebrews chapter 5, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to who? To those who obey him. And so it is absolutely necessary not just to be baptized. It may appear from an outward standpoint. Yeah, this person has been baptized, and so he's a Christian, or she's a Christian, and so that he or she is a part of the true people of God. But that may not tell the whole story. Are you obedient to God? Matthew 7 at verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. What happens when you obey the gospel of Christ and your sins are washed away by the blood of Christ? Your name is written in the book of life. But you have to keep it there. You remember in Revelation chapter 3, I remember those seven churches, of course, and the church at Sardis is very interesting, particularly. Revelation chapter 3, notice this about the church at Sardis. Beginning at verse 1, Revelation chapter 3 and at verse 1, it says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says, I know your works. You have, now watch this. You have the reputation of being alive, he says. In other words, they were apparently Christians. But they weren't really. People around them thought that they were Christians. They thought they had a relationship with God. They thought that they were a part of the true people of God. But they weren't even in fellowship with God because Jesus said instead of being alive, they were dead. Why is that? It's because they allowed their garments to become soiled. They weren't faithful to God. Who are the true people of God in every dispensation? Those who have faith in God and are faithful. That's how you get your name in the book of life. He goes on to say here in the context of Revelation chapter 3. He says at verse 3, remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time, what hour I'm coming against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. Isn't that the person you want to be? You obey the gospel and you get your name in the book of life, and then you live faithfully and you keep your name there. That is critical to the salvation of your soul. If we flip to towards the end of the book of Revelation, look at Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20 and at verse 13, listen at this. Revelation 20 and at verse 13, he brings up the book of life again. He says at verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You just think about that. I can tell you some members of the church whose names were not written in the book of life. They were at one time. But you know, back in that passage in Revelation 3 and at verse 5, Jesus made reference to blotting out names. In that case, he said he would not blot out the name of those whose garments are not soiled, those who are conquerors. What about anyone who obeyed the gospel, entered into that outer circle? They are apparently Christians. They have a reputation of being so. But their garments are soiled. The implication of Revelation 3:5 is that God will turn that pencil around that he wrote their name in that book, and he will erase it. He will blot your name out of the book of life if you're unfaithful. You can jump up and down all you want to and say, but I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I'm a part of God's true people. If you're not faithful, God has erased your name from the book of life. And what happens to those who aren't found in the book of life? They're cast into the lake of fire. We want to be sure today that not only we obey the gospel and we become a part of the called out, but that we are truly Christians. Remember what a Christian is. A Christian is one who walks in the steps of Jesus. Like, that's what a Christian is. There's too many of us who want all of the benefits of being a Christian, but we don't want to follow in the steps of Jesus. If you're not imitating Christ, you're not a Christian, a Christian. You're not following in his steps. You can just be guaranteed your name is being removed. We want to make sure that we don't make the same mistake as the Jews made. They thought for sure, just on the basis of their circumcision and their physical lineage, the offspring of Abraham, that they were a part of God's true people. And in reality, only a few of them were. We want to make sure that we are part of the few, because it is still true that those who have faith and are faithful are those who are truly Christians. We don't want to devalue obeying the gospel and being a part of the called out. We want people to view us as Christians. We want to have a reputation of being alive, but we want it to be more than just a reputation. We want it to be real. And that only happens if we are faithful to God. Are you a part of God's true people? The small group of people, comparatively speaking, whose names are written in the book of life, who will enter into that narrow gate and make it to heaven after a while. I know you want to be. I want to be too. Let's not just assume we are because we've been baptized and we're a member of some local church. Let's make sure we're on the right track because we're living right. And let me say one more thing before we close. Those who have faith in God and are faithful. The statement isn't those who have faith in God and are perfect. That's not the criterion. They're not those who have faith in God and have never, ever, ever sinned. That would eliminate all of us because we all fall short from time to time. God doesn't expect perfection from us. We should strive for it for sure. We should be determined never, ever, ever to sin. But God knows better than we do that we're going to fall short from time to time. It's why he has set up his plan of salvation the way he has. It's why he has given us access to the cleansing blood of his son. It's why we have an advocate with the Father in case we sin. So you don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be faithful. You have to determine, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to come to the assemblies of the saints because that's what God expects. I'm going to pray and study. That's what God expects. I'm going to keep his commandments to the very best of my ability because that's what he expects. I'm going to be faithful to my God because I want to be a true Christian, not just an apparent one. And so are you a part of the true people of God? The true people of God are those who have faith and are faithful. That has always been true, and it will always be true until Jesus comes back. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel, and we've told you exactly how to do that here tonight. Why not become a part of the people of God? You can't continue to be a part of God's true people if you never obey the gospel of Christ. Remember, you have to be baptized in order to change your situation locationally. To leave the world and to leave the dominion, the captivity of the devil, Satan, and sin, you need to obey the gospel. We've already told you how to do that. Don't hesitate. Do it right now. And if you're a child of God, but you have drifted back into the world, you haven't been faithful, change that around as well. Repent and pray God. Ask God for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you. I hope you do the right thing. I hope you do it right now as we together stand and sing.